Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Charging teens with felonies for vandalizing a pride crosswalk. Yes, that actually happened. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here today. Our fourth and final hour on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. Thank you for being here today. Tomorrow is Friday, obviously, so I won't be here. No, I got to be in New York for a super secret, double secret probation project, which I will tell you about as soon as I can, but it's good stuff. I'll tell you about it. You know who always really impressed me is Javier Milei. This guy in Argentina, he really does impress me a lot. He's got the best hair, too. And his tax and omnibus bills narrowly passed the Argentinian Senate. The guy's been trying to do his best to bring in his libertarian economic reforms. And he is trying to deregulate labor, commerce, real estate, healthcare, and a declaration of a public emergency in economic, financial, fiscal, pensions, defense, tariff, energy, health, administrative, social matters, all the way until December 31st, 2025. So, yeah, good for him. Good for him for doing that. Closer to home, Janet Yellen doesn't quite get it why people are upset over the economy, but Biden keeps blaming others for his economic mistakes. So Veronique de Rouget had a great piece on this at Reason.com. He's trying to shift blame for inflation, the interest rate tax hikes, and an overall decimation of consumers' purchasing power. As he's not, you know, standing in France wandering off to go speak to dead people. There's a video going around today. It's just, oh, man. It just, all of a sudden, Biden just turns around and starts walking away. And this woman comes over and, like, grabs him and is like, hey, you got to get, you know, government overspending. An activity that the Biden administration has taken to a new level has sent the country into an inflationary spiral. Thank you. She's an excellent economist, libertarian economist, and I get tired of people just blaming the Fed. Look, I get it. The Fed deserves enormous blame, but there are, I've always said to you, a couple things can be true at the same time. So yeah, the Fed absolutely has blood on its hands, no doubt about it. But Biden's spending also has blood on its hands. Trillions of dollars in COVID-19 relief programs, infrastructure spending, vote-buying student loan forgiveness programs, and a political Build Back Better agenda. White House has flooded the economy and decimated consumers' purchasing power. We're paying more and getting less for everything, from energy to food. And this is the big story of the hour, brought to you by our buddy, Dr. Mike Vanaria, VanariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile. V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VanariaDental.com. According to the House Budget Committee, the average family of four is paying around $1,143 more each month than it was in early 2021 for the same goods and services. This includes increased gasoline costs. Rather than reversing course, President Joe Biden is telling voters the private sector is to blame and that he has the answers. He's doubling down by proposing more stifling, job-killing regulations to, quote-unquote, fix the problem. Regulations which will inevitably send inflation to new heights. Energy prices are a core component of inflation. If it costs more to ship goods, prices increase. Yet the president began executing an anti-energy agenda within hours of being sworn in. Hours. I mean, you remember that, right? The killing of the Keystone XL pipeline, what he did on day one, and then taking ANWR off the table, and now recently with the liquid natural gas export ban. He's been doing lots of these things. Although prices were at record lows before he took office, by 2022, consumers were paying 50% more for gas. No surprise after canceled energy leases, halted pipeline construction, and new regulatory burdens on energy exploration. Constrained supply and prices will rise. But that hasn't stopped Biden from blaming energy companies, the same companies that reduced prices to record lows in relatively freer markets during the Trump administration. Veronique Desrougiers writes at Reason.com. He's now threatening them with tax hikes, which will be passed on and increase consumers' costs even more. The government Fiscal Irresponsibility Office has now famously led to inflation and Federal Reserve interest rate hikes, which in turn jeopardize the American dream of home ownership. The average 30-year fixed mortgage rate, which is under 3% in late 2020, has skyrocketed to nearly 8%. That means the average home purchaser now needs to earn an additional $47,000 a year just to afford a home compared to 4 years ago. Some economists correctly argue that the higher cost of money, which isn't measured in inflation indexes, explains why people continue to be so upset about inflation despite its statistical decline. But here again, the president shifts blame, this time to his predecessor, falsely claiming the inflation rate was near double digits when he took office. Don't forget about renters who, like home buyers, are no better off now than they were before Biden's activist regulatory spree took hold. Between March of 2020 in July of 2023, the national median monthly rent rose from about $1,600 a month to $2,000 a month. It's about a 27% increase. Rental prices have surged about 30%. But again, the Biden administration found a convenient private sector scapegoat. It has unleashed the power of the Department of Justice on a site called RealPage. This is a U.S. software provider that helps landlords determine market pricing for their rental properties. How dare they? The existence of a company like this shouldn't be controversial. Almost every industry today uses a similar tool, from grocery stores to airlines, to make better decisions about pricing their inventory based on supply and demand. But the administration always needs someone to blame. They always need a boogeyman, don't they? It's never Joe Biden's fault. It's always somebody else's fault, and it's always corporate greed. Always corporate greed. That's right. Those evil, greedy, greedy people who are all in cahoots together, all of them, to just make housing more expensive for you and everything more expensive, and they're all working together. That's right. You know, even the vice president says housing prices under control. It's not going to happen until a second term. Yeah, a second term of Donald Trump, but certainly going to happen with this idiot in the White House. The median monthly housing payment is up 23% from just 2 years ago. Rent is up 23% since Biden took office.
There are certainly some other issues that we need to deal with. I mean, part of the second term agenda starting now is...
Oh, sorry. That's... go ahead.
There are certainly some other issues that we need to deal with. I mean, part of the second term agenda starting now is again, what we've got to do in getting under control of this, of the housing price, and both in terms of affordability to be able to buy a house and rent. We got to get more work done in terms of what we can do around dealing with access to capital. That's work we've been doing, helping people have a leg up and be able to start, you know, a family, start thinking about buying a home and not worrying about debt.
And not worrying about debt. Got it? Okay. All right. That's cute. That's funny. That's funny. So Biden's economic policies have made everything worse. So then they have this real page. I talked to a guy the other day who's got rental properties, and he said to me, he goes, you know, tenants in New Jersey have more rights than landlords do. They just decide not to pay. They don't pay. The administration doesn't like the fact that landlords might actually use market forces to figure out the price of rent. So now they're going after this real page. It's nothing new to see politicians blaming others, but that's what always happens. This president would be more successful, Veronique Desrosiers writes, if he reversed course, ending the spending orgy that's undermining the American family and restoring a sense of fiscal responsibility to the nation's budget. We are witnessing the success of doing just this in Argentina, a nation which has long struggled with inflation, excessive government spending, and eroding economic stability and prosperity for its people. Newly elected President Javier Milei has imposed fiscal restraint upon the government, shutting down agencies and programs that were once considered sacrosanct. As a result, inflation is down, income is up, and the nation is quickly becoming a shining light of economic prosperity after decades of darkness and decadence. Its economy is growing for the first time in decades. Some of Milei's platform focused on reducing the size of government, cutting unnecessary expenditures, and implementing free market policies offers a promising path towards economic revitalization. Maybe the United States will follow the lead of Argentina. Wouldn't that be something, huh? Don't cry for me, Argentina. The truth is... Now... The other reason why the economy stinks right now is because we are sending more and more money overseas. You know, as Biden and Zelensky palled around today, signing their new security agreement, more and more money going overseas, endless wars. We got Russian warships off the coast of Cuba. It just makes me laugh. It really does. It makes me laugh because the world was so much better off under the last guy. The world was so much better off under Donald Trump. And people didn't like his tweets or whatever their other stupid excuses were, whatever it was. I mean, whatever it was. But you were better off. You and I were better off. And I don't know if you've gotten a raise over the last several years. A lot of people have it. And if they have it, well, they've been hurting. Even Jerome Powell admits the Biden administration is overstating jobs. That's right. Even the Fed chair, Jerome Powell, can't help but just admit, Yeah. You know what? These jobs, all these jobs that Biden says, it's a little bit of a fugazi. A little bit of a fugazi. And, you know, maybe Powell will be honest about it.
2%. Or is there any sense that maybe the labor market is more vulnerable now to higher rates now that many of those imbalances have eased?
Sure. So by so many measures, the labor market was kind of overheated 2 years ago, and we've seen it gradually move back into much better balance between supply and demand. So what have we seen? We've seen labor force supply come up quite a bit through immigration and through recovering participation. That's ongoing mostly now through the immigration channel, but still we've had some increases in prime age labor force. In terms of on the demand side, you know, we've seen, we've seen quits moving down. We've seen job openings moving down. We've seen wage increases moving from very, very high levels a couple of years ago back down to more sustainable levels. We have seen unemployment creep up now 6/10 over the course of a year or so, very, very gradually.
Oh.
So you put all that together,
yeah.
What you have is still low unemployment, still 4% unemployment, historically low.
But
it's moved up a little bit. It's softened a bit. And
you know,
that's an important statistic. But more than that, you've got strong job creation. You have payroll jobs still coming in strong, even though they, you know, there's an argument that they may be a bit overstated. But
really?
Still, they're strong. So that's
maybe they're overstated because all of the statistics you're putting out are BS. Just ask yourself this question, and it's just a very simple question. Do you think things are better now than they were then? Just ask yourself that question. That's it. Reagan's famous question. Are you better off now than you were 4 years ago? If you were, vote for Biden. But I know there's a lot of people that hate Trump's guts so much that they're just, it doesn't matter. Even if they know and they'll be honest that they were not better off 4 years ago, they're you know what I'm saying? Like they're still... They hate Trump so much. And the government screwed up college financial aid applications. The new FAFSA form is like healthcare.gov, but for college students. The U.S. Department of Education has jeopardized access to financial aid for millions of college students and their families, all because it failed to create a functional online form. And what is possibly the largest web-based government fumble since the rollout of healthcare.gov in 2013, the updated free application for federal student aid, FAFSA, online form, has been a glitch-filled fiasco, infuriating families and universities alike. Maybe you're going through this. I know we got graduations going on. Maybe you're in the process of dealing with this now, or you've dealt with it, or you just dealt with it. Students seeking federal loans and grants must use the FAFSA form, but it's also essential for those who don't intend to take federal money since the vast majority of U.S. colleges use it to determine institutional financial aid. Like how much the college is going to give your family for your kid to go to school there? So back in 2021, this administration, another smashing success in the Consolidated Appropriations Act, tried to simplify the FAFSA process, but they blew it. Shocking. The updated form had a soft launch on December 31st, 2023, more than 2 months later than the form's typical release date. And during that delay, the department did not extend the deadline for families to complete the form. So they stuck it to you, even though the new form wasn't working. And then they started to import parents' tax data directly from the IRS. But it took the department more time, but it didn't give you more time. And then it turned around. Families were enraged. The forms were impossible to complete. At one point, this is what a reporter said. At one point, the site was telling me that both my daughter and I had already started forms when, in fact, neither of us had. I wish they'd waited another year and gotten this right by late in the summer so everyone could have had a full academic year cycle to get used to the new form and formulas for determining aid. It was plagued for issues with months after its rollout, and FAFSA's website contains a long list of technical complaints, and there's complicated workarounds. They need to fix it. Adding insult to injury, this incompetent administration revealed in March that around 200,000 completed forms contained inaccurate information and would need to be recalculated. The error affected students who reported their own assets, such as personal savings or investments, and the whole thing's been a freaking mess. Mark Camille, president of Albertus Magnus College, said the delays in getting information to students and the inaccuracy of the information the college is receiving is getting scary. On the one hand, you want to take at face value that if we receive records, they're accurate, but the ones we received to date have had errors. But instead of streamlining all this and streamlining the FAFSA process, the department has made it even more complicated, already adding stress to an already daunting process. So literally, as we speak right now, at this moment, as the United States is giving arms and more money to Ukraine, you have millions of students. The financial futures of millions of students are hanging in the balance because the government can't create a functional form. Because this administration is so freaking incompetent. Unbelievable. All right, 855-839-1210. As we continue along on the show, our fourth and final hour, I got a great Jenny Yellen clip for you. I'll play straight ahead. Don't go away.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the Markable Fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Yes, on our fourth and final hour on Talk Radio 1210 WPHG. Thanks for being here today. Appreciate it very, very much. Did you get your Jack Carr tickets yet? Get them today. 1210WPHG.com. Do it today. And I should also mention, I will be off tomorrow. Michael Pelka will be in. I have a double super secret probation thing in New York I got to deal with. All right? Okay, very, very good. Look, this race is going to come down to the economy at the end of the day for a lot of people, not everybody, but for a lot of people. Trump support is massive, as you can tell by all the boat flotillas that go by. So 2016 again, this time they're not going to be able to fool us with COVID and mail-in ballots and everything like that. It's going to, the economy is not going to change. Jerome Powell did not change interest rates yesterday, the Fed chair. The Treasury Secretary, well, Janet Yellen, she can't explain why the polls show that voters think President Trump did a better job with the economy than Joe Biden. She can't explain it.
The public believes that the former President Trump, was better for the economy than the current president.
Well, I think President Biden understands that people are feeling pain. And when they say this, they are concerned. I think they've seen the level of prices rise quite a lot. I mean, over 20% over the last 3 years or so. They can remember when the price of a gallon of milk or a loaf of bread was 30% lower than it is now. And low-income families have seen some of the highest increase in costs.
The public believes
there's a big increase in costs, and people don't like that, you know? I mean, call them crazy. They just don't like that big increase in costs. So that's why they're not happy right now. Boy, she's a terrible spokesperson. It's just, isn't it amazing? She can't, you know. But she still wants everybody to believe that Americans are better off now. She actually said that. She goes, but all Americans are better off now. Where? Where are these better off Americans? I'm dying to understand. I want to find these people. Where are they? I don't know. Maybe they're all on the ocean train. The ocean choo-choo. Joe Biden's ocean choo-choo. It's going to go all the way over the ocean. I can't wait for the beverage car on this. It's going to be off of his. You know what I mean? It's going to be amazing, the beverage car. I'm so psyched.
We're developing the first railway line to extend from Angola to the DRC, Zambia, into the Indian Ocean. I think this is a game changer. I really do. The economy is going to have over 2 billion of people very shortly. And it really is a game changer.
Ocean choo-choo. Get on board. Choo-choo. Then you just drown. It's going to be fun. I think everyone's going to enjoy themselves. But you got to do the beverage car, all right? You got to do the beverage car. If you don't do the beverage car, then you're going to be missing out. I'm just telling you. I'm just saying. I don't want you to be in that position. So get on board. Choo-choo. Will the ocean train be affected by all the Russian warships off the coast of Cuba? I'm curious about that. I'm just asking for a friend, you know? I just want to know. By the way, Jerry Seinfeld, a very funny comedian, obviously. He and his wife, Jessica Seinfeld, they share some children, too. I think it was her previous marriage or something. But anyway, for his son's graduation, he gave him a flip phone. Not a smartphone, a flip phone. I thought this was a fascinating story. I really did. I thought this was a fascinating story. So, and it was actually my wife sent me this story earlier today. Because we always struggle with this as parents. It's when do you give the kids a smartphone? Should you give the kids a smartphone? Should you do any of these things? So Jerry and Jessica Seinfeld gave their son a flip phone for graduation. Our youngest son, Shepard, graduated from high school yesterday. As I posted earlier in my stories, we gave him a flip phone for graduation in hopes he will turn in his smartphone. Many of you have asked if this is his first phone. I wish. If I knew then what I know now, I would have waited until age 14 to give him a smartphone. He got handed down an old one at age 12 for the bus ride to school in the Bronx. Jessica Seinfeld, who shares 3 children with her comedian and actor husband, wrote that she hopes the flip phone, maybe it's all the same kids, I don't know, will encourage Shepard to give up his smartphone for the basic cell phone option. The mom of 3 is often posted on social media about encouraging a smartphone-free environment for kids. Among her posts is a video from social psychologist and author Jonathan Haidt, who wrote The Anxious Generation, which discusses teens' use of smartphones and social media and their impact on kids' mental health. Now, I can tell you that I don't want government involved in any of this. I don't. I don't want any laws. I don't want any regulations. I want this to be up to parents. But if we're seeing more and more kids who are anxious and distracted because of these phones and they're addicted to them and everything else like this, then as parents, you have some decisions to make. I don't need a government. I don't need a governor deciding for me. I don't need a state legislature deciding for me. I don't need some bureaucrat making that decision. Me and my wife will decide this for ourselves, for our kids. But I do think it's a fascinating thought, you know? We only gave kids smartphones, and then right around the time they also got social media accounts. When kids move their social lives onto social media like that, it's not human. It doesn't help them develop. And right away, mental health collapses. Mental health collapses. It's true. It says kids need play and independence. And if they're going to become healthy, happy, and independent adults, they need to be able to play and be independent and not addicted to these things. I think a lot of it, too, has to do with some of these games. Like I noticed when Patrick plays FIFA soccer, for example, on his Nintendo Switch or Mario Brothers or something, he's fine. He plays Fortnite and he goes into that world, goes down that rabbit hole, and he's like a different kid when he comes out. So we're going to make this basically a device-free summer. And probably that game's going to get the boot. As parents, we're going to make that decision because we've noticed that our son seems to change when he plays that game. And I've heard this from other parents, too. There are a lot of parents who are dealing with the same thing. You know, my son's age group, we talk to parents, and my brother-in-law, my sister-in-law, their son, our good friends down the street who Patrick plays with a lot. And we're all in the same kind of boat together. It's this idea that, yeah, you know, there's something going on in the kids' brains around these, some of the games. Some of them are, I think they stress their brains out a lot. And I think that they make them just a little bit too anxious. But as parents, that's up to you. That's the choice you've got to make for your kids. You know, some parents might say, my kids are fine when they play these games, or my kids are better when they play these games. I don't know. Their concentration gets better. I don't know. Every family's different. Every kid's different. Everybody's got to decide these things for themselves. It's one thing I think is very important. But if you have any thoughts, feel free to tweet me at Rich Zeoli. Let me know how you handle these things in your home and your family. And because we're always trying to find it. You know, we're always trying to find the right balance between these things. And long ago, I realized that it's very easy after a long day at work or whatever to just turn your kids over to the screen and just say, have at it. And for a lot of times, it's inevitable. It's inevitable because as parents, you're busy and your kids, and also too, they like to relax and they watch shows and stuff. But some of the games I find on their brains, they become more taxing than other things. And so that's what we decide. All right, listen, when it comes to your home, there's simply no one better than Emmons Roofing and Siding. So I want you to go there right now. EmmonsRoofing.com. EMMONS. Your home will look better. Your home will absolutely increase in value. Roofing, siding, windows, and doors. And because Emmons knows the economy stinks, they're giving each and every one of my listeners 10% off. 10% off roofing, siding, windows, and doors. That's right. Oh, you got to reach out to Emmons. Matt and Stephanie are great friends of ours. You know, speaking of kids, their son Mason plays with my son Patrick. And we give them a little screen time when they come over. The kids can play together on some of the games. But mostly we had them outside, throwing around the football, throwing around the basketball. And it's great. And that's the way it should be, I think. But they're great parents and they're great friends of mine. And I'd love for you to reach out to Emmons today by going to EmmonsRoofing.com. They serve our entire region, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Delaware, and the Jersey Shore. There's simply no company quite like Emmons, EmmonsRoofing.com. So reach out and get the 10% off inflation relief discount from the company that I've used and trusted for so many years. They've literally done every project in my home, from the roof to the siding to the windows to the doors. You can trust them too. EmmonsRoofing.com.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
I want to turn our attention to a topic involving children, because I think that, certainly as a parent, I think it's the most important issue before us right now is what they're trying to do to our children. And as a dad of three beautiful kids, I can tell you it scares me just how our society is trying to push children to go down the road of these so-called gender-affirming care practices. And it's just absolutely ridiculous and dangerous to our children. And it's an honor to welcome back to the show Dr. Stanley Goldfarb. He is chairman of Do No Harm and professor of medicine at the Perelman School of Medicine at the University of Pennsylvania, right here in our backyard. Dr. Goldfarb, thank you for joining me in your hometown of Philadelphia. I appreciate it.
No, great to be with you again.
Now, the California Senate passed a bill out of committee on Monday rejecting evidence-based medicine in favor of ideologically charged gender-affirming care. Now, will you tell us what this bill would do?
Well, basically, it would allow schools and other individuals to start children down this path, which is often an irreversible path of changing their bodies and altering their body parts, ultimately, without the parents really having anything to do with it, sort of keeping the parents blind to the changes that are proposed for their children, which is obviously an awful idea.
So the parents would have no consent whatsoever with this if a kid wants to do something that would permanently damage their body? I mean, I thought it used to be if a kid wanted an aspirin, you had to give consent as a parent.
Yeah, you know, I think we want parents to be totally involved in their children's care. Unfortunately, in this situation of so-called gender-affirming care, sometimes the parents are foursquare behind this, even though it's a terrible idea and children can't possibly give consent, and nor really can parents give proper consent with real understanding of what's happening here. But certainly the idea that the parents should be kept in the dark on this is just a terrible idea. And, you know, it's the idea that the parents are not in charge of their children's development and upbringing, but rather, in this case, the state is determining that, which is really awful.
Dr. Goldfarb, it's infuriating as a parent to hear that, because my job as a parent is to guide my kids to make decisions that will they won't regret when they get older. And children make a lot of bad decisions. It's why kids are not allowed to drink alcohol and do drugs. And there's a lot of restrictions on what kids can do because their brains are still developing. So why would we allow children to go down this road knowing that their brains have not fully developed yet and they may change their mind at some point? But at that point, it becomes irreversible.
No, it's a terrible idea. You know, what's happened in Europe now really it points the way to how this should be handled. So there are five European countries, and most recently, a very extensive report by Hilary Cass, the chief pediatrician in the United Kingdom, and that, you know, a very eminent physician there, have all come to the conclusion that we just do not have evidence that these very troubled, often very troubled and vulnerable children would benefit at all from going through these kinds of either social transitions or medical transitions, particularly in their adolescence, that there's no benefit to them that has really been documented in the literature. And obviously, there's the potential for great harm. Just to point out the kind of harm that's potential, there now are over 50 lawsuits in various stages of development by children that have gone through gender affirmation, have had their bodies changed either through surgery or through the effects of these hormones that they're administered, and have realized it's a terrible mistake, and now they wish that they hadn't done that, and are blaming the physicians and the medical centers that told them that this was the right thing for them, when in fact nobody really understood how to treat these children properly. And in fact, almost certainly, according to the European nations, to this CAS review, which was done in the United Kingdom, what these children need is extensive psychological treatment. Surgery is not the answer to psychological problems, but that's what's going on here.
And the so-called puberty blockers, can we talk about those for a minute? Because as I understand it, first of all, they're not even approved for puberty blocking, I guess, for lack of a better term. They're also very dangerous, and they also could have some irreversible effects as well, right?
Yeah, you know, the point is puberty is an important and normal part of development, and blocking children from going through puberty is associated with all sorts of complications, including particularly in brain development. There's been some real questions about it, as well as in the development of their bones. The drugs have been used in the past for children that would start to go through puberty at a very early age. And so temporarily they would get the drugs, but then be allowed to go through puberty. The point of using these drugs is to either block puberty for its entirety or to block puberty for a short bit. And then the children start to go on large doses of these sex-changing hormones and altering their development forever, really. And the drugs are, and almost 98% of the children who start on puberty blockers end up on hormones. So the idea that it gives some sort of pause to allow further thinking just isn't the case. And now these drugs have been completely banned in the United Kingdom. That was one of the recommendations of the CAS report, and that's been the case for a while now.
Dr. Stanley Goldfarb is with me. He is chairman of the organization called Do No Harm, DoNoHarmMedicine.org. I'm grateful to have you on the show today. The other thing, too, is when you talk about the psychological help that these kids need, I completely agree with that point. I mean, we're talking about children who are, in fact, going through something. But the problem is, as I see it, politically speaking, there's an entire element of people that don't even want to entertain that that could be a consideration. So, for example, if I'm a parent, they want to keep me in the dark. They don't even want me to know if my kid is going through this at school, because the idea that it could be something else besides just what is what, you know, the child's truth, the idea that it could be psychological, and the child could be suffering from mental illness, or it could just be doing it for attention, or it could be something. You can't entertain those other possibilities. So people are willing to sacrifice the health of our children to try to push a political narrative. And I find that to be just so disturbing, dangerous, and wrong for the child.
No, absolutely. You know, it's called conversion therapy. So it's analogizing from the idea of trying to take children that are going to be gay adults and or even gay adults and try to convert them into being so-called, you know, heterosexuals. And they've analogized from that to trying to give these children enough insight that they understand why they're confused about their gender and to treat their other underlying medical problems. It's been seen in many clinics that as many as 30% of the children that go through these so-called gender-affirming treatments are autistic. A number of them have been abused. A number of them have depression. And the idea that unless they are allowed to go through this gender affirmation treatment, that they're going to commit suicide, has just been shown not to be true. The leading psychiatrist in Finland, who's been an expert in this area and has worked with these children for many years, points out that this claim in the United States that you either can have a dead son or a live daughter or vice versa is simply just not true. And that problem for these children is that they have a great burden of mental illness and they need to be treated for that rather than to go through hormones or even surgical procedures, which unfortunately goes on as well.
And then, and as you guys point out too on your site at Do No Harm, and I'm looking at a lot of this stuff too. I mean, much of this is being pushed through medical schools where they're teaching future doctors. And you also have stories on your site about how medical schools are adopting very far left ideology, but they're teaching doctors that this is the way it's supposed to be so that the doctors will graduate medical school with a medical degree and they'll have an entirely different take than the take of Dr. Stanley Goldfarb. That's not good.
No, you're correct. I mean, when you look at some of the anatomy materials that they have in their coursework, when they talk about the reproductive system, they make these statements that, you know, there is no one sex. There are various kinds of sexes. There are intersex. No, this is all wrong. There are two sexes. That's the case. And if people have confusion about their gender, they need to be understood. They need to be talked to. They need to undergo psychological treatment to understand why they're confused about this. Is there a child someplace that their view of their gender is correct and they're going to want to live like that the rest of their lives? Maybe, but we can't harm 100 children to find that one or maybe one in 1,000 or one in 10,000 children that, in fact, this might be something that works well for them. We can't harm a whole generation of children based on ideology and based on these very false ideas of what's beneficial here. It really is a tragedy that's going on. We're going to have lots of children that are harmed by this. These lawsuits are going to accumulate where more and more children are suing their practitioners for leading them down this path, as I mentioned. We have a bill that we're championing around the country called the Detransitioners Bill of Rights, because these children that want to change their back to being the gender they were born into, there are no insurance codes that will allow this to occur. They're often abandoned by the physicians that have pushed them through into these gender alterations that they've experienced. So this really is a medical tragedy that's going on. And you know, the studies that show that these children benefit psychologically from this are terrible studies. That's why even the organizations that promote these treatments agree that the evidence is of very, very poor quality to suggest that there's any benefit at all to this kind of treatment. And certainly there's plenty of evidence for harm.
And I know that you have Chloe Cole, who's a detransitioner. I know that she's speaking as part of the Do No Harm roadshow, for lack of a better word. I'm glad she's involved in this. She's a fantastic person. It's a shame what happened to her. And her story about saying that she wasn't even given any other options. I mean, she was just told this is what you have to do by doctors. Yeah. Scary. It's barbaric.
And her parents were told, you know, either you have let this go on or you're going to have a dead child here.
Yeah.
And so the parents, you know, become advocates also for their children. They don't want their child to be harmed, but they're sold really a false bill of goods by these physicians who push this without the proper evaluation of the patient, which is what the British review of this has said. Every one of these children needs to be treated as an individual. They can't be assumed to have this gender dysphoria that can only be treated one way, which is hormones and puberty blockers and even surgery. They need to be treated as children that are troubled, vulnerable, and they need intense psychological therapy.
While I have you, Dr. Stanley Goldfarb, you have spoken a lot about DEI and the impact of DEI on medicine. Can you tell us about that? Because I think a lot of people are kind of in the dark about this idea of the effects of diversity, equity, and inclusion and what it's doing to medical schools and the healthcare industry in general.
Yeah, that's, you know, one of our two missions of Do No Harm is to fight back against DEI. And, you know, the problem with DEI is the words sound great, diversity, equity, and inclusion, but they don't mean what they normally mean in the when used as part of the DEI. Diversity means we're going to have more in our organization, in the healthcare workforce. And it's going to exclude Asians particularly because they're overrepresented in the healthcare workforce. Equity means we're going to have equal outcomes. So we're not going to really assess people based on their qualifications and their abilities, but we're going to assume everybody's the same in terms of their ability to be physicians. And inclusion is really exclusionary. As I said, the Asian students are often excluded from many opportunities because they tend to be overrepresented in their academic performance. And we're fighting really against this. And I'll tell you the biggest sort of myth that's been put out there to justify this diversity idea is that black patients need black doctors in order to have a reduction in the healthcare disparities that exist. And our organization has looked very carefully at this issue. It turns out there are over 60 studies in the medical literature on this topic of whether patients need to be in concordance with their physician's race. And it turns out that there really is no evidence that supports this. There are papers that claim it, but there are equal number of papers that show, in fact, that when black patients have black doctors, they're less satisfied as patients with their physicians. So, but yet medical organizations have latched onto this idea and said, we must have diversity in the medical school class and we must bring minority students in unrelated to their qualifications. Some of them are really less qualified than some Asian students that have been denied admission. This is, of course, was the basis for the famous Supreme Court case throwing out affirmative action because people are harmed by this idea. You know, there are only so many opportunities for students to go to medical school. There is a limited number of places. They can't just go to another college the way you can as an undergraduate. If they don't get admitted to medical school, they can't be a physician. And if we decide that we're going to accept people based on non-meritorious factors and simply based on immutable characteristics like their race, then we're going to deny it to people that really do deserve to have that opportunity. So our organization is fighting against this because, you know, we want to see healthcare disparities go away. They're going to go away when individuals get better access to the healthcare system and know when to access the healthcare system. And let me just give you one little example of this business where there's a discrepancy, a disparity that is clearly attributable to lack of accessing the healthcare system in a timely fashion. So uterine cancer has become a major problem that's been increasingly recognized. There was a story in the Wall Street Journal recently that black women access the healthcare system after they have their first symptoms of uterine cancer, which is abnormal bleeding, 8 months after the first symptoms. White patients tend to access the system 4 months after their first symptoms. Those 4 months make a huge difference. And why do they wait that long? Well, part of it is this drumbeat that the healthcare system is biased against them, and therefore there's less trust that black patients have in the healthcare system. And this is not benefiting them, and it's not improving their outcomes, and yet it continues to be pushed as another rationale for having implicit bias training into pushing the diversity, equity, and inclusion regimen into healthcare. And this is, we're fighting against this because we think this is wrong. We think every patient should be treated as an individual. We shouldn't have different protocols for different racial groups. We shouldn't have students that come in because of a particular race. We and segregate students into different classes, which goes on in California medical schools at UCLA and University of California, San Francisco. We believe this is terrible. It is returning to a segregated society, which those of us who grew up in the 60s fought against and argued against. And now we see it recurring.
Dr. Stanley Gofarb, do no harm. Thank you so much for joining us. Really appreciate it.
Great to be with you. Thanks for having me.
The Rich Scioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
You fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.